This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, I was telling some of these guys just the comfort knowing that, hey, we're a year into the system. The guys, there's a ton of continuity coming back. Last year, it was completely new system, a lot of new players, everybody kind of getting to know each other, learn each other. I know my coaching staff really well. I know our players really well. I know what we did well, you know, from a schematic standpoint, and what our guys can do, and what are some of the things that we can do going forward with a different quarterback. So it feels like once the offseason hit, I was like, man, this feels really nice to be able to just kind of.
There we go. Football stuff. The Falcons coach talking about football stuff. Now, that was Zach Robinson, the Falcons offensive coordinator. I didn't realize that yesterday was media availability for all of the assistant coaching staff. Right. I thought Jeff Ulbrich was just meeting with the media to address the fine and all that stuff from yesterday, which he did. I don't think anybody asked him anything about defense.
Anybody asked him about the new addition to the defense or anything?
No, the quotes that maybe they did, but the quotes that I see on here are apologizing to the Sanders family. Something about the prank call. Past few days have been like for him as a father. His reaction when he found out that his son was involved, and that's it.
Okay. maybe they give him another chance.
Maybe, yeah. We'll circle back on the two edge rushers that they drafted in the first round and the two DBs that they got after that. Because I have to imagine, in fact, I know for a fact, because I saw him on TV on Thursday
night. He was happy as hell.
Bear-hugging Terry Fontenot.
Yes.
We even asked Terry Fontenot about that on Friday.
Yes.
I think Jeff Ulbrich was the only coach we asked Terry Fontenot about on Friday in the interview that we had, because we saw how happy he was during the draft because of what they did in the first round. So we know that he's excited about those guys. How could he not be?
No.
When we talked to Jeff Ulbrich right after he was hired by the Falcons, he had the right quote. He was like, yeah, I mean, I do think that I'm good at this. I do think I'm paraphrasing. I think I'm better now than I was previously. I learned a lot in New York, whatever, but like I'm only as good as my roster.
Right.
So getting some better players
it helps.
Probably fire you up as a DC.
You think so, right?
But you know, he's got other stuff going on too.
Yeah. But,
so I understand.
But yeah, I mean, going back to what Zach was talking about, another year in the system is always good for everybody. I think, and it's helped for him also because he knows the strengths and weaknesses of his players and what and where he can put guys, where he can't put guys. And he learned that over the course of the first year. And now you come back, you add stuff to it, new quarterback with different physical skill sets than the other guy. And so, you know, you try to, you know, then you go back to left-handed quarterback. Okay, the protection has to slide the other way now. And, I mean, so many nuances of going into this offseason with a new offensive core that's pretty much the same thing except for the quarterback.
Right. So it is, but then also the most important part of it is different, right?
Yes.
And they had him for three games, and obviously everyone's hyped about what Penix can be and all that kind of stuff. But that's the fun unknown. That's the fun headline about the Atlanta Falcons between now and when the season gets here that we won't know until they play actual games. But it's a fun thing to wonder about and what worry about or whatever is like, how good can Michael Penix be and how quickly can he be that good?
Yes.
Like, that's fun.
Yes.
That's actually, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they are.
I don't think I'll get tired of that topic.
But, I mean, I think that when you look at the way that this team is constructed, I don't want to put everything on Michael Penix, but if Michael Penix plays well with the key additions that they brought in, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine and everything like that. And because they play in the South, they should win this division. Now, we're so far away from all that.
There's a lot that still has to happen.
But yet, you know, the more and more you get the reps as a first-team quarterback, the more and more you get comfortable with these guys. Because this is where all that stuff starts building right now when you're a young quarterback, the offseason. I mean, once the OTAs and minicamps are over, this still ain't over no more. You know, they'll probably go down somewhere, throw around and things like that right before you go on a little vacay before training camp. But it all starts now. And Michael being in that building every single day as an unquestioned quarterback. Because this time we knew Kurt was the unquestioned, but we knew there was a guy behind him.
Yeah. I mean, at this time last year, we were still like,
okay.
They really drafted Penix 8th, huh?
Yeah.
And they signed Kirk?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now we ain't got to worry about it.
And now we're like, thank God they did that.
Yeah. Now we got, now ain't got to worry about that.
Well, now we got to worry about it in the opposite. Yeah. Kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but more likely, we ain't worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take care of the other part of it. And then we can really just focus on the guy. All right. Dyson Daniels won an award. We got an individual award. Here he is talking about it.
Like a, I'm a humble guy, and I don't like to, you know, go at anyone or anything. But, you know, I knew that, you know, I deserve this award the most. You know, I feel like I improved the most this year. And, you know, I feel like my first 2 years, you know, I couldn't really go – I couldn't really do any worse.
I think this.
Couldn't really do any worse.
Yes.
what an awesome quote.
I think it might have been just being you. I don't listen this closely to other stuff. But I know that whenever I come on talking about – defensive player of the year for Dyson. We was like, yeah, yeah. But what about most improved player? I know we did mention it a while back when people were talking about, you know, as far as him being the defensive player of the year, which he runner up.
Yeah, he's close. It's hard to be defensive player of the year on a defense as bad as the Hawks.
He's going to be first team all defense.
Yeah, he'll win defensive player of the year eventually.
But I think it's a great thing, and it goes back to what Landry did as far as his acquirement of this young man, because we know who the hell this guy was. You remember, like, who the hell is Dyson Daniels? And then we got an opportunity to see a little bit of him in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's a relentless defender.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
I still didn't know he was going to come in and do what he did.
No, there's no way.
But I know he's going to have that many steals.
But that's always that phrase of just opportunity. He wasn't getting opportunities in New Orleans.
That is what I think the most improved player is. What? I think it's the player that gets the most opportunity increase.
Yes.
Because, yeah, of course, like, they improved. But I remember years ago when we used to do a weekly interview with CJ McCollum when he was in Portland, he won the most improved player. Mm-hmm. And we were like, congratulations on winning the most improved player. He was like, yeah, thanks. I was like, no, you're not happy about it? Right. And he was like, well, I don't think I improved that much. Right. I just played more.
Right.
Like, last year I played 8 minutes a game, and this year I played 34 minutes a game. Yeah.
Like
they just gave me an opportunity.
Hopefully I improved.
So Dyson Daniels just didn't really play at all when he was in New Orleans, which is crazy because they were not good. Like, no. How could he not crack that lineup with as bad as they were?
And as the least amount of he's played, how did you know – to get asked for him in his trade.
Right, that was well done.
Or did they throw him in? You know what I mean? One of the two.
No, he was like it, wasn't he? Like,
because I remember
you got a draft pick, there wasn't like another name.
Exactly. So you're like, okay, to ask for this guy, not knowing, you know, and I still think he has a ceiling. We know the offensive game is still a work in progress, especially when he's driving to the hoop left. But, you know, it's still something that,
no. He was asked to do a lot more than I thought he was going to be asked to do offensively, too. Like, he was the backup point guard for 60 games, you know, hopefully he doesn't have to do as much of that next year. He did an okay job when he was asked to do that. But, yeah, I mean, ideally, Dyson Daniels is your lockdown perimeter defender and like your fourth or fifth option on offense. Right?
Can we get him a
like bird? Ideally.
Oh, God. Oh,
because ideally you're going to have Trey, Jalen Johnson, and Reese Shea on the floor with him.
And who was the guy with Russell Westbrook, the wing that couldn't shoot but played the hell out of defense? Williams? Robertson.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, he's still. Robertson still?
Oh, no. Sorry. You know, yeah, I know what you're talking about. In Oklahoma.
Yeah, he just played defense, locked down people, and then he would stand in the corner and shoot three.
Uh-huh.
I think Dyson's a little bit more than that.
He is more than that. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be a good team, he's probably your fourth guy offensively.
Okay.
Right? Because those other three guys are better offensively, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty.
But you got to have. But there's the Jalen Johnson, definitely. The other guy, he's
got to. Trey, definitely, 100%.
Trey, definitely, 100%. The other guy's got to continue to grow. Because, I mean, I won't say I'm disappointed in what Reese Shea did, especially in the play-in round. Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not a great taste left in your mouth final two
games.
Tastes
like French food.
Wasn't good. Yeah. That wasn't a very good way to leave the season. But I like the last couple months of the year. I thought he was pretty good.
Awesome, aggressive, everything.
All right, speaking of French people, probably the story of the game last night was this guy.
Dante wing right. He'll move to his left. He'll fire in a three. It's offline. Rudy got the rebound and slammed it home. A new postseason career high, 27 points, and a new postseason career high, 21 rebounds for the big man.
Rudy, that y'all must have forgot.
Man.
Tell him, Rudy.
Rudy Gobert had 27 and 24 last night.
Yes. He must have forgot.
And sent the Lakers packing.
Must have forgot.
They all, yeah, wow. That's unexpected. I'll be honest. I didn't think Rudy Gobert was going to pack them up like that with 27 and 24 and send them off into their summer.
He thought Ant-Man was going to go out there and dominate, and it was going to be a wrap.
Yeah.
He's coming to play. He's coming to get y'all ass up out of here. And he played like butt.
Who?
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Shot the ball.
He shot the ball poorly. Really I thought he still really kind of controlled the flow when he had the ball in his hand, because they were coming double teams and he was moving the ball.
I mean, you looked at what JJ was trying to do more than anything. He was trying to keep the ball out of his hand and let them shoot from the perimeter. He just didn't anticipate Rudy Gobert.
It worked.
How do you not?
How
do you not anticipate Rudy Gobert?
I know.
You know, doing what he did.
Right.
But I think that's
the perimeter game plan worked.
Yes, it did.
The interior game plan
did not work. But that's why I was
laughing.
The funniest thing of all is watching Shaq have to give Rudy Gobert like credit. It was the funniest thing in the world watching Shaquille O'Neal give Rudy Gobert credit. But you have to. You have to. He did his thing.
Man had 27 and 24 in an elimination.
And now you're at a point where, you know, JJ, you know, the smartest guy in the room. He's a brilliant basketball mind. Don't get me wrong. And he was fine during the regular season getting back to where they were and everything like that. And now the conversation is what you do with the whole Nico. Oh, how y'all. Somebody owes Nico an apology. I didn't apologize to Nico for nothing. That's still a dumbass trade.
He still traded Luka Doncic when he didn't have to do that.
What happened was that they had the perfect team built around him.
Right, exactly.
They had the perfect team built around
him. That, to me, is the interesting part of the conversation now for them and honestly here in Atlanta as you try to build the perfect team around Trey. Like, it's just really hard to do that, even when the offensive talent is as like historic as Luka's is, and he was banged up last night in the second half. We understand, whatever. But like, when you're trying to build your team around a guy who's so bad at something,
yes,
and Luka's so bad at defense. Like, I know again, last night I know he was hurt, whatever. Like, that was atrocious.
Yes.
It's really hard to build a really good team around a guy that's that bad at something, even when he's great at the other parts. And Dallas did it.
Yes, they did.
They actually really did do it. They did do it. And the Lakers aren't built like that at all right
now.
No. They got a lot of questions this offseason.
But and then the guy who the trade got rescinded from Charlotte, go kick rocks.
Yes, yeah,
go kick rocks.
We'll get back to that later. Like, I don't want to.
Go kick rocks.
I don't like.
All right.
I don't like the only time you talk about a guy is just to hate on him.
Yeah.
But, like, I got some Mark Williams thoughts,
go
man.
Go kick rocks.
People are talking about this guy like he's damn Kareem.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Like,
how do we even know JJ would have played him?
Oh, my God.
JJ might not even played him.
Stop.
Genius as JJ is. We don't need any bigs out there. Just going to go small and let Rudy Gobert have the all-time Wilt Chamberlain game against us. All right, Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us next. Speaking of smartest guys in the room, can't come on tomorrow because he's got to play in a media match. Demanded to come on today. We'll see how it goes. Who knows? With Smoking Joe after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.